Yo, what's up everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yes, of course, it is me, Jonathan, one of your hosts, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello there.
So on this episode, we will be taking a look at 2015's Christmas comedy, The Night Before, directed by Jonathan Levine.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the borough, the children were snuggled, their presents wrapped thorough. But this tale's not about presents, or Santa, or ponies. It's about three dudes, three bros, three ride-or-die homies.
Gentlemen, 14 years ago to this very night,
I lost my parents.
And you guys have been with me every single Christmas since then.
You knew.
But tonight,
we have decided to end this tradition. Chris is just too famous to hang out with us anymore. And Isaac's about to have a baby.
You have been such a rock throughout this whole pregnancy. Tonight, just focus on yourself.
Whoa! Dreams? Is this cocaine? You haven't done cocaine for 11 years, I don't think.
Yeah, no one has, I don't think.
Holy...
I have a present for you.
We're going to the best Christmas party in New York City.
So that gives us several hours to hit as many traditions as possible.
To the end of an era.
I think the cocaine and the mushrooms are reacting poorly.
You look insane. Only your right eye is working.
Do I look weird now?
Yes, you look weird. Still weird. Weirder.
You guys missed her singing Miley Cyrus. She destroyed Wrecking Ball.
You still like that song?
Everybody does.
You can cry to it. You can run to it.
Yeah.
You can party to it.
Timeless. I came in like a wrecking ball.
I never hit so hard. I'm gonna be honest. I'm freaking out about having the baby. I'm supposed to be a rock, but I'm not a rock.
How wasted are you right now?
Hallelujah.
Not that kind of church.
No.
Who's that guy?
What guy?
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Is that what they think we did to him?
Yeah.
Can they tell I'm Jewish?
Yes. Your sweater. Don't you dare throw up in here. Swallow it like a girl would.
I need a barf bag.
No barf bag.
Is it still happening?
It's still happening a little. Yeah.
We did not kill Jesus. We did not do that.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
So... this is a film that got recommended to me a few years ago by my big sister, who, if you are a listener to the podcast, has been on the main series a couple of times. I don't know where she found it, but I'm glad that she passed it on, because I quite enjoy this film.
Is this the last, adult comedy Christmas film that we'll do?
Yes, I think so.
Out of all the ones I've seen in this podcast, and all, most of these are fresh watches for me, I think I would say quite easily this is the best one.
Yeah, I agree. Do you know why? It's just because I think all the other ones are just a bit too, well, apart from Love Actually, I suppose, that's like a rom-com, but the other ones were kind of crude. Love Actually is just mental, if you've listened to that podcast. It's just too much going on. I keep trying to plug Claws to everybody that's got Netflix.
Yeah, I've been the same.
That's the film to watch if you've not seen it. And I was talking to him about It's a Wonderful Life. Spoiler, it's coming up later in the series. But I started watching it today also. And that kind of was a different film, but it's one of my dad's. He thinks it's a great film. In fact, so does everybody that's talked about It's a Wonderful Life has said it's a really good film. And what I've seen of it so far, it kind of caught me off guard a bit, but it's quite a good film. I'm enjoying it. It's kind of old obviously now, but I get why it's a classic. I just need to finish it. But yeah, we have went off on a weird tangent, but no, background to The Night Before. So The Night Before, it's kind of like a weird kind of stonery film. But I hate saying that, because I feel like anything that Seth Rogen's attached to kind of gets that moniker.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think it's fair. But obviously, Seth Rogen's one of the stars. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Anthony Mackie, they make up the triumvirate of the three friends. Ethan, Isaac, and Chris. So yeah, it's a quite a big cast though. I'm surprised this one slipped me by so much, by the way, and I never knew about it until my sister told me about it, because all of those three actors I actually quite like. I'm a big fan of Joseph Gordon-Levitt as well. So
yeah, it's kind of weird, like, for Seth Rogen. I mean, Seth Rogen films always have like certain people in them, but like even in this film, James Franco's in this. But I just thought it was kind of weird to see him in a film with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Anthony Mackie. I didn't even know that Anthony Mackie was even in this film. So that was kind of a shock to me. It's just a weird trio. I would never have expected it, but it works really well. I actually think they all are great together, and it's a funny, good film. A bit stoner, eh? A bit. Weirdly enough, it kind of is doing A Christmas Carol.
Well, going to bring that up, but it's very, very loose. Like, there's very only loose. It's not based on A Christmas Carol, I don't think. I think they just, because it's probably the most famous Christmas story, probably of all time now. And there's another couple of adaptations dropping, one on Sky, which is like a mad modern twist, and one which is an animated one dropping on Netflix, or it has dropped on Netflix, I think, already, earlier this month. Haven't checked it out yet, don't know what that's all about. I think it's just now overused, but I get why people do it. I think it's probably a safe bet. I mean, if you look at Spirited as well, the Apple TV vehicle with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, that's another adaptation. But this is kind of loose, because really, really loose. And I think, obviously, that it's just a reference to Michael Shannon's character, Mr. Green, which is another strange one to see him in. I quite like Michael Shannon. He's quite a weird character in this, but also quite kind of just cool and chilled out.
I was surprised to see him in this. I never really knew who the actor was. I had originally seen him in Knives Out. I think that was the first thing I had seen him in. But he's in a film that I really like, which is Bullet Train. He plays like the villain of the film. I kind of surprised to see him in this film as well. And he's like a big character as much, really. He's just kind of pops in. He's the weed dealer, giving people, you know, he gives each three of them different types of weed. Get the weed of the present, the weed of the past, and the weed of the future. It's a Seth Rogen film. What do you expect sometimes?
Well, but that's the only Christmas Carol tie-in, though, really. Is
I think that's the only Christmas. Yeah, that's like. I also got confused. So, what was he, like an angel?
Nah, he's a real guy, I think.
He flies away at the end of the film.
Does he?
Ah, he's like, ah, it looks like I've earned these, and wings sprout out of him, and he flies away.
Yeah, okay. Are you sure they're not just all high on drugs and?
Well, no one saw it. So.
I don't know.
I had a theory about Mr. Green, and I think it's probably not. I'm probably looking too deep into this, but I had a theory that Mr. Green was the drunk driver who ran Joseph Gordon-Levitt's parents over. I don't know. I don't think that's even hinted at really anywhere. But something made me think that could be possible, and that's why he keeps on like. And that's why he's like doing this thing now, and that's why he gets, maybe he's like avenged himself, not avenged, the wrong word, but like he's like redeemed himself, sorry. But I don't know, maybe I'm looking way into this, because at the end of the film he's sitting with like, is it Santa or something? Like, who's he even sitting with at the end of this film? The film kind of goes a little bit weird at the end of it. I think I might be looking too much into that, but I don't know, that's the way I saw it. I need to look more into the film, see if that's actually, because it's never hinted that's the case or anything.
So, yeah, the film, obviously the night before, it's Christmas Eve, that's why it's called The Night Before, obviously, and like Kenzie's just hinted to, Ethan, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, loses his parents in a car accident, and then because they're so close friends, Isaac and Chris, they don't want him to be alone at Christmas, so they basically make a pact to do this every year, essentially. Like, it's a Christmas tradition. And they're trying to get to this kind of almost fantasy party that might not actually exist, the Nutcracker Ball, because they don't ever really seem to know how to get invites or to find out where it is. And then obviously you get a jump forward to 2015 when the film's set. And this is like they've decided that this will be their last year because, well, Ethan's not really doing much with his life, but the other two, one's Seth Rogen's character, Isaac, he's just about to have a baby, he's married and he's kind of like a family man now, and Chris is now a famous football player, so he can't really walk around the streets unknown like he would have been able to before. So yeah, that's kind of where the film takes off. The Seth Rogen character, I feel as though, because it's Seth Rogen, they just put this kind of arc in where his wife gives him like the box of drugs and goes, yeah, have a good time, and it's like, but I mean, if it was another actor, would that happen? I don't know if it's really needed, but it is, like you say, a kind of stonery film. But I think that's just, it's kind of like typecasting Seth Rogen. But it's just, these are the type of characters he seems to play a lot of the time. I quite like him in this. I quite like Seth Rogen. He's on a constant wave of trying to come down off of the drugs or perk himself up because he's so uneven. It's quite strange. He does some mental things in the film.
He does. Quite a lot of them do. But yeah, I mean, he's like absolutely tripping balls for this whole film. Yeah, typical kind of... does Seth Rogen kind of just play kind of the same thing in most films he does?
Are we bringing up another one of these? Does he just play Seth Rogen in every movie?
I feel like he kind of does. Every film I've seen him in where he's wearing glasses, I just see him as Seth Rogen. And he's always just like loud, and just kind of, yeah. I've seen quite a few Seth Rogen films. I watched The Interview like last year. That's not very good. That was the one that had like huge controversy around it. But there's like other films where I don't think, like, Superbad. I think he does a better job in Superbad than I've seen in most films that he's been in.
But he's only like a small role as a cop.
Yeah, true.
See, Superbad's a weird one because Superbad was written by Seth Rogen and mm-hmm. Evan Goldberg. They're friends. They still are friends. They've got a production company now. And they basically started writing Superbad, and it was versions of them in the script. But obviously, as they got older, everything changed, and you know, and eventually got to a stage where it got picked up and potential to be adapted into a film. And obviously, it was. So they had to find versions of them. The thing about Superbad though is like it's right for my age group. And when it came out, I think I was like 17, 18. Is it still good now? I like everything. I think comedy dates quite hard, quite quick sometimes. If you've got a lot of things that the public opinion shifts on, that it can be a bit tough to go back and watch it. But it's probably still quite an enjoyable film. The Interview is a weird one. But I think in The Interview, he's playing the normal level-headed one. And he's just fucking off on a different planet.
But I always feel like James Franco, especially in that film, yeah, he's mental. But I always feel like James Franco's always playing the one who's a little bit more over the top than Seth Rogen in these films.
Have you ever seen the movie Why Him?
Bryan Cranston?
Yes.
I have never seen it, but I remember it coming out.
Yeah, James Franco's character in that, he's a bit mental as well.
It's like most films I've seen him. He's in this film as well.
When will James Franco be in another film? Or another film of note? Who knows? The question. Yeah. He's another one of these people that has not been... Well, the public opinion on has shifted quite a bit in recent times. Anthony Mackie, The Anthony Mackie character is a bit of a dick. I don't really like him. He's kind of trying to get in with all his NFL friends or football friends.
Yeah.
He just kind of doesn't... It's not until like the end of the film where he realises that these are his real friends. And I think this he's getting wrapped up in this kind of fame world that he's in, which I suppose would happen to the best of us. But yeah, I mean, if you've got friends that have been with you for years, you know, it's just the way they're acting. And I kind of feel bad for like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, because he feels like he's got nothing and he's just kind of at a stagnant point of his life. It's all just plateaued, and he's clearly still in love with his ex-girlfriend, played by Lizzie Caplan. But they eventually they rekindle, which is good, because he kind of realizes that he's the problem, which is quite strange, because he's quite good in romantic comedies. One of my favourites is a film called 500 Days of Summer, a really good film. Zooey Deschanel plays the female lead, and in that he's kind of a bit too forward and wants all the bells and whistles, and she's the one that is a bit standoffish, but the kind of roles are reversed here. But then again, I feel as though meeting somebody's parents, if you've been dating for a period of time, isn't that big of an ask. But he's obviously got problems with that, you know, in terms of what happened to his own parents and commitment issues. And this film tackles a lot of different things, kind of subtly, in a weird way, which is kind of good.
Yeah, it's like, because each character's got their own kind of thing to deal with. I think the main focus really is on Gordon-Levitt's character, kind of more to deal with his like past better and to kind of move on, because he's still kind of, that's the whole thing of this film, is that they do this kind of party thing every year, but they've got to this point where it's like the other two feel like this should be the last one. But he doesn't seem to be. He wants to like keep on doing it. Really, he's not really. I guess they kind of see it as he's not growing up.
Yeah.
Just, like, well, they're
like, I think they don't.
They feel like they're enabling them as well.
That's what I'm saying. They're making the decision to stop enabling them, because to maybe make them sort of move on. I mean, it's not like they're going to stop spending time with each other and stop being friends. Far from it. I think they just want him to maybe pursue life in a different way, which does happen at the end of the film.
Yeah,
I think they're all having Christmas dinner, and it's quite nice. But and obviously Seth Rogen's character from the outset seemed as though he was like the calm one in the relationship and was ready to be a father, and then all of a sudden he starts tripping balls. And then he leaves himself like a mad voice note about fucking killing his kid. It's fucking mental, because he's totally freaked out about it now that he's starting to realise like what's going on in his life. And then obviously Chris is dealing with fame, and not only that, I mean, he's taking steroids and it's all the things that come with it. And do you know, I think it's kind of made him turn out to be a person that's not really a reflection of how he used to be. Like, he didn't want to go home to see his mum at Christmas, and he's just like, why not? And there's that part of it as well. It's quite an interesting one. Although it's like a stoner comedy, there is some kind of deeper narrative plots in it, which is quite good. And I think this time of the year, people do feel a little low, and it's quite good to maybe have something on screen that replicates people feeling that way. Because I feel as though sometimes films that are released at this time of year, it's all too jolly, you know, and you kind of forget about just how severe people can be affected by this time of year, in terms of if they are lonely or they've got nobody else, they've no family, or you know, if you've no partners or kids, you know, it does take a toll. It's quite a shit time of year if you're somebody who is a bit of a loner. It can be kind of magnified specifically around this time of year, which is great to see that, you know, I mean, films are tackling certain things. I mean, they're doing it in a comedic fashion, but like I've always said, if you talk about sort of deeper subject matter but frame it in a comedy, it's all good, because then people can watch it and laugh at it and still take what they read from it, which is good.
Yeah, it's not like, although it is quite like a comedic Christmas film, the actual is kind of messages in it, and but in the end of the film as well, all characters kind of grow to be better people and get over things that they have to deal with. Some help from Mr. Green, with they all get in each, because the way I brought it before, each of them get like a different, like one gets like the weed of the past, present, and like future, and then each one's meant to help with the person. I don't know, I mean, Seth Rogen's one made it look like it made him probably want to be a better dad, I guess, because it made it look like he was gonna be a terrible dad.
That's a fucked up one, man. See his, yeah. That was a weird trip to smoke, take a big hit of weed, and then be sort of transported into the future and in a strip club with your wife or the mother of your kid, and you are watching your daughter, and it's like, fucking hell, that's fucked up. But yeah. I guess it probably would scare you into potentially, well, definitely being a better father to your kids.
Gordon Levitt gets passed, which just shows that his friends do care for him, and pretty much, I don't know, in that moment in time, he's like a bit of a downer, and I think it just helps that he should care about his friends, and his friends do care about him. I think kind of that. The only one that's kind of weird and a bit ambiguous was Anthony Mackie's one, which he got the present, which pretty much nothing happened. The only thing I can get from that is that he should be living more in the present than he actually is, or I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird. That one's a bit up in the air a little bit. But it all comes together at the end, where they all kind of learn.
Yeah. Am I right in saying that at the end of this film, Mr. Green, does he reference The Great Gatsby?
He does. He says he loves the book, but he hates the film, but he's a sucker for Leo.
Which is weird, because obviously films shouldn't know that films exist, I suppose. Some might do, but it's not a meta film at all or whatsoever, but referencing things like that can be quite strange. Yeah, because we eventually find out that he's the man behind the party.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just read up on Wikipedia there about
the end of the film.
Yeah, I read up on Wikipedia. It said it turns out that he was an angel.
Ah, right, okay.
And he's redeemed himself to use his wings, I guess. I don't, obviously a bad angel, I don't know. It doesn't say any more than that. It just is Wikipedia. So yeah, but he was also, so he was the owner of the Nutcracker. Miley Cyrus was at the Nutcracker, like actual Miley Cyrus singing Wrecking Ball, because that was the time of, oh my god, I remember that song came out, oh my god. That was such a huge deal. It was
a hit, mate. It was a big hit.
Was it even a, was it really a good song? Or like, I don't know. I just remember the music video being like, bruh, like what is this video? Everyone. Interesting time.
But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting film. It's quite well made. Jonathan Levine, he's done Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, and Jonathan Levine have all worked together on a previous film, which I actually 50-50. Really like, 50-50.
It's a really good
movie. It's a solid piece of work, you know. There's a lot of good people working on it. I don't really have much more to say, but in that matter, it's one of these films where, based on the films that we've previously watched, knowing that this is another sort of adult R-rated comedy. It's far and away the best one. And yeah, I really enjoy it. And if you, it's on Prime, I think, currently.
Think so, yeah.
If you've got a Prime subscription, Amazon Prime, you can check it out. Decent watch for the holiday season, something a bit different. And I would recommend it, personally. I do enjoy it. I enjoyed it the first time I watched it, enjoyed it when I watched it to come on and talk about it. Yeah, really, really enjoyable film. And it's got, I think what really is like the three actors are all really likeable, which is great. So I think people will be sold that way as well. They're all just likeable people, but they've all obviously got their own baggage and their own shit to deal with. But yeah, solid movie all round.
I definitely think it's the best out of the adult comedy ones we've watched. It's one of the better Seth Rogen films I've seen. I quite enjoyed it. It was quite funny. I just think it's a good watch. I would watch it again. I did actually quite enjoy it. It's a good film.
So yeah, I think we've hit that stage of the podcast where we just move on and give our ratings out of 5 popcorn buckets. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you know that is a metric over here at Cult Film Cafe. I'll go first. I really like comedies like this. I suppose 50-50 if you base what 50-50 is about and then look at this, you can understand the sort of more serious tone behind a comedy. Those of you who are not familiar with 50-50, go and check it out. It's actually really, really good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a man who gets cancer and sort of struggles to sort of deal with it, and I think Seth Rogen plays his best friend or one of his friends, and yeah, it's a quite interesting one, and as the comedy as well, but you'd, like I said, it's exploring sort of these more serious themes in its own way, and I think that's quite clever. I think using comedy to frame this kind of subject matter is a real good way of doing it, to make it more palatable for an audience instead of like a hard-hitting, gripping slogfest of a drama. So yeah, really good film all round. I like all three of the main stars in it, and a lot of the supporting cast I actually like as well, and there'll be for a lot of familiar faces for you that pop up in it if you've not seen it. So go out and check it out, and yeah, I'm just going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much about the same place, to be honest. I quite like this film. It's a good Christmas film. It's a good kind of comedy film. All three main actors in this film were all really good. Seth Rogen, which I can take him sometimes and not take him other times, but in this film, I think he works. The other two were great, Anthony Mackie and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and together, their chemistry together was great. They were really good. So that made it a lot more enjoyable as well. Everyone else who's in this film, for the most part, I really liked Mr. Green. He was pretty good. All appearances, I even liked Miley Cyrus in this film. Yeah, she was quite good. There's no bad character. I think they all do a good enough job. There was one character that comes into it who's likes ruining Christmas, I guess. She's like a thief. We never mentioned her at all, but she was kind of random, and then
She plays like the Grinch-like character of the film.
Yeah, but then she just
kind of Scrooge or the Grinch, yeah.
And then that's it. She doesn't come back into it or anything. It's just kind of, so that was kind of weird. I don't really know why she was in it, but bar that, everything else good. Good ending, and I was entertained the whole way through. It's a pretty good film. Honestly, I recommend this one if you're looking for something to watch for Christmas. It's not family friendly. I would give it a 3.5 as well.
Yeah, I just want to touch on Gillian Bell, who plays Seth Rogen's wife in this film. She plays a wife who's kind of pregnant and just about to have a baby in this movie, and she's also in Office Christmas Party, where she is the pimp to the hooker, which is quite a juxtaposition of characters in Christmas movies or Christmas orientated films portrayed by the same actress. And yeah, it's quite strange. I just wanted to say that just because I remember her being in both films, and they're such different characters. It's quite strange. But yeah, no, that's it. It's a 3.5 across the board for me and Kenzie. So yeah, seal of approval. Go and watch it. It's actually really quite fun. So yeah, that's it for another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. It's been a blast as always. And like we always say, you should know where to find us by now if you're listening to the podcast. And if you don't, you can just give us a wee search on Google and you'll find us from there. And if you'd like to go over and give us a wee follow on Instagram, Twitter, and now Twitch. We are now streaming on Twitch, which is quite exciting. So yeah, we won't only be just doing podcasts. Me and Ken's like to game a little as well. So if you're into that, you'll get some laugh out of us trying to be good at video games when we're both really mediocre players. So yeah, that is it for this episode. So it is a goodbye from me.
And it is goodbye from me.
Podcast out.